Oh, come on, Transformation Church. Let's give God a shout of praise. Oh, come on, has he been good to you this week? Has he been faithful all over the world? Let's give God one shout of praise. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I said with me. God, you're worthy. Hallelujah. 5 more seconds. Shake off the week and give God the praise that he's worthy of. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel something about to happen in the room, happen in your house, happen in your heart. Somebody. Woo! Y'all quit. Quit. I feel expectation this morning. Anybody expecting anything from God right now? Come on, in the chat, put I'm expecting. I'm expecting. I'm expecting. It's funny that around Transformation Church, a lot of people having babies right now. A lot of y'all just don't know what to do with yourselves. Pandemic and people at home, and now everybody's propping up. We having a baby, we having a baby. And I'm so excited about everybody that's expecting. The one thing that happens when you're expecting is everything changes because you know something's coming. Like what you eat changes, where you go changes, who you allow yourself to be around changes when you're, somebody say, expecting. This whole series that we're in, what I believe God's trying to do is make people expect something that maybe they weren't pregnant with in a different season. Maybe it wasn't something you were believing for in a different season, but right now somebody said, I'm expecting. Say it with faith. Somebody say, I'm expecting. Now the question is, what are you expecting? Because some of us are expecting hurt, expecting pain, expecting frustration because it's what happened last time. But today God told me to encourage everybody that is in our church to expect good from God. I don't know who needs to hear this morning, but you've been expecting for it to fall apart and how it's about to mess up and where we're gonna have to put it together. And God told me as I was coming down this morning, he said, Michael, tell my children, expect good from me. Lift your hands right now, because some of y'all are in a place where you're like, I don't know how. Father, I pray that you would raise the level of expectation, that we would expect good from you. Ooh, I feel the presence. Come on, just begin to say, God, help me expect good. Help me expect you. Help me expect more than I've been expecting. I expect good from God. I even heard God say, a no is good because it means a better yes. Y'all missed the whole, I'm already too deep into the message. Y'all need some, but God said even the no is good because that means he's saving you for a better yes. I need somebody with faith to help me already. There's a better yes in your future. There's a better yes around the job. There's a better yes for your business and your family. No is not good. It's a better yes. And I've just been sensing a better yes. Oh, I feel that thing. God said some of the things that he said no to was his protection. It was for somebody just say, a better yes. I just think about it. This ain't my message, but somebody is pulling on me right now. You need to be encouraged right now that God has said no several times in a row, because that would have been jeopardizing to the plan he has for your life. But he's been setting you up for a better yes. My daughters, they now start to tell me, Dad, why you keep saying no? Because they don't know what I have planned for them. And when I tell them they can't have pizza at breakfast, It's not because I don't want them to have good in their life. It's because I know what me and their mother talked about, what we're going to take them for dinner. There's a better yes in the future. And I just feel like somebody's expectation needs to raise, because the no is not no, it's a better yes. Thank you, Lord, that we can see your goodness even when it doesn't feel good. Thank you for what you're going to say and do today. I feel your presence already. I'm trying to move right now, but prophetically, somebody was about to give up because of the door that slammed in your face. And God said, you should start praising for that door closing. Y'all don't even know how to do that. God said, you need to shout, because the thing that didn't happen was the best thing that you never had. I feel that thing right now. There's some things that you've been crying over that God said, dry your tears, because you would have really been crying if I let you have that. But there is a better yes. Ah, there's a better yes. There's a better yes in your future. And it might be disguised and wrapped in a no, but there's a better yes. Ah! There's a better yes. Oh, I feel that thing. God said, I'm not denying you. I'm setting you up for a better yes. I haven't forgot. I got you carved in the palm of my hand. But there's a better yes. Woo! I feel this thing is for me. Even the church not being open yet. See, I got to talk to myself right now. I have tried everything in my power to get this building back open. And I have to believe that this holy pause that God has had on all of y'all being in this building wasn't because God doesn't want this place filled with people and praise and worship. He said, there's something I'm setting you up for. That's a better yes than what you could have done. So, Father, help all of us not get discouraged while you're still working. We thank you for the better yes. So we say yes, Lord. Say yes, Lord. From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I say yes, Lord. Completely yes, my soul, my mind, will, and emotion says yes. I feel old right now, but I say yes, Lord. Somebody needs to get that in your spirit. Say yes, Lord. Woo! From the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul, I say yes, Lord. Somebody say, my soul says yes. Say, my soul. Some of y'all too young for this. But there's a place that I don't want to do it, but my mind, will, and emotion are going to say yes. Somebody say,
my soul says yes.
Say, my soul.
My soul says yes.
If your soul is going to say yes, whatever God wants to do, why don't you just clap your hands and give God a shout of praise? Oh, come on. Make your soul say yes. Yes, God. Yes, God. Even though I don't feel it. Yes, God. Even though it doesn't look good. Yes, God. My soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, I say yes. God's got a better yes, but you got a better yes too. There's got to be a better yes in you. There's got to be a better yes. Some of us are doing what God's saying gradually, but slow obedience is disobedience. And God says there's a better yes. Somebody say a better yes. I have a better yes in me. I got a better yes in me. When he tells me to wake up early in the morning and pray, Will, there's a better yes in me. When he says, go give to that person and I can't figure it out, God said, there's a better yes in you. So my soul says yes. Today in front of everybody, said my soul said yes. Said my soul. Just one more time. Said yes. Send my soul. If you got a better yes in you, give God one more shout. Oh, come on. All over the world, wherever you're watching this from, you might have to be quiet, but something on the inside of you is raising up. Yes, Lord. Come on, put it in the chat. Say yes, Lord. Say it out loud. Say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The sign of real maturity when you walk in your faith with God is your yes gets quick. Some of us are still trying to say yes for something God said to you 3 years ago. He got to twist your arm and convince you and put you in a headlock and, oh, well, I guess I need to say. But the sign that you're maturing is when God just whispers something and the yes is quick. I don't understand it, but yes. It doesn't feel comfortable, but yes. I don't even know them like that, but yes. My prayer as your pastor is that our yes would get strong and fast. And if God says for us to give, we say yes. If he says for us to stay when we want to go, we say yes. When he tells you to shut up, when you have plenty to say, oh, come on, don't do me like that. Well, I got all the reasons why. And God said, be quiet. And you say yes. That's what I'm praying is happening through this series, that God is maturing our yes. He's saying, walk in crazy faith. And we say yes. He says, give the book to somebody else. Stand in gap and pray for somebody you don't know their whole situation. Fast. And I didn't call the whole church to a fast. I told you to fast. And we will say yes. Thank you, Lord, for a church that says yes. Thank you, Lord, for business owners that say yes. Thank you, Lord, for students that in the midst of what culture is telling them to do in high school, they will say yes. God's calling you to do a Bible study every day at lunchtime. What will you say? At the workplace, at the job? He wants you, I didn't even study for that. This is not my career, but he said, but I got a calling for you in this thing. Will you say yes? My soul will say yes. My mind, my will, and my emotions. Ooh, that last one. Well, emotionally, I don't have peace about it. Do you know that you don't have to emotionally have peace to be obedient? I know that goes in. I know. Well, it's not settled yet. Do you know how many things I've had to step up and do? Knees shaking, unsettled. Why? Because God's not looking for my feelings. He's looking for my faith. Did he say it? Did he do it? My answer will be yes. Somebody's yes is getting stronger right now. Amen. Y'all sit down. Anybody ready for the word today? Amen. We are in week 5 of a series we're calling Crazier Faith. Somebody say Crazier Faith. Say it with your chest. Say Crazier Faith. And we have been walking systematically through things that I told one of my teammates that helped me run the church this morning. I was like, I don't want to preach a series that sounds good and people can't live out. I'm sick of ineffective church. I'm sick of people impressing you with their knowledge and wisdom from the platform, and they're like, oh my God, look at them, they're amazing, but you do not know how to go home and do anything with what they talked about. And I've made a decision that I want to have effective ministry, not just impactful or big ministry. And we're at the place right now as a church that God has exceeded all of our expectations of what we thought church would be and ministry would be and all this other stuff. And so now I'm at a point, it's like, what is the vision for what God wants to do? And God's like, Michael, help it work in people's lives. Because if literally 10,000 of y'all got the concept of crazy faith and crazier faith, it would change, everybody say, the world. Not just your family, not just your, my crazy faith has changed hundreds of thousands of people's lives because of one person believing. If one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight, that's multiplication, y'all. I don't know how long it's been since you've been in a math class, but one being 1,000, two being 10,000, something multiplied. What if we could get 10,000 people? That ain't even all of y'all watching right now. That ain't even all y'all on the rebroadcast. Like, but just 10. I don't need everybody. I don't need the fans. I just need a few fighters. I just need about 10,000 of y'all to really get these concepts. And so a part of this teaching has been very, 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 very cheat code teaching. I want to give you the cheat codes to faith. Like, I don't want to get up here and impress you. I want to give you tools to be able to go back to your sphere of influence and live. Everybody shout live. In crazy faith. So today, I'm going to attempt that in another form. And I feel like I'm just done in the series. The past four messages really was one message. It was the intro. The last 4 weeks was the intro. I've had so much in the holster ready to pow, pow, pow. But the Holy Spirit said, but you can't give them that until you give them this. So we talked about our anointed imagination. We've talked about believing for more than what we can see right now. We've talked about getting the friends or the circle of faith. We talked about these different things. But today I want to take it to the next level. And I think the way that I want to start this out is by a little story time. So 2020 was a challenging year for everybody, but it especially got a little wonky when my father, the captain, Tom Todd, AKA man of God, he got hit with COVID, like for real, like on a ventilator and like breathing treatments and all this other stuff. And my dad is my hero. So this is my first time in 34 years of living that I saw my father in a compromised position, and it messed with me. It was like, hold on. I could live on the earth and my daddy not be here. And like, I know that, but it never was like real. And one day he started coughing really bad and it just kept going, and I just couldn't get that image out of my head. And when life gets in the balance of people you love, you start reevaluating everything. So in 2020, I started reevaluating everything. This is not a sad story. He's still living and he's sitting here on the front row. I know some of y'all are saying he up, he moving, he good, okay? But it gives backstory to what I'm about to tell you. So what ended up happening was I really started thinking about what would bless my family. And for Father's Day, I'm a gift giver. My dad's a real generous person, and I learned that from him. And for Father's Day, me and Natalie were talking about, like, what could we give my dad that would really bless him? And my dad never wants anything for Christmas. He always says something generic, like, I just want y'all to love each other. And I was like, they don't sell that at Walmart. Like, and he always says stuff like this, but my dad is the biggest family guy you could ever imagine. Like, he just loves bringing people together, and especially our family. So me and Natalie said, what could we give my dad for Father's Day? And it is no secret that, and I love being able to live transparently in front of our church, God has for some reason chosen to bless me and Nat personally through books and through being an author. I could have never seen this, but God has been so gracious to us financially through selling books. Relationship Goals, they told me, in basically a year and a half has sold over 800,000 copies. Y'all, I don't even know what that even means, except they done sent me a couple checks that I praise God for. And for some reason, they told me that this week, Crazy Faith is third week on the New York Times bestseller book. And I just want to say thank you. Because it's never been about it selling book. It's just getting the messages out. Like, I want people to win in relationships and all that other stuff. So in 2020, God blessed our family financially. And so instead of going and buying a car that I saw or buying something that that would be more materialistic, I was like, I want to create experiences. So for Father's Day, we decided to take our entire family, all my wife's side of the family, and all of my side of the family. Now, if you don't have context, I got five brothers, and a lot of them got wives and kids. And I got, we took everybody on a trip out of the country. Okay? Now, that sounds great in theory. But we went on a family trip this past weekend. And it was 22 of us. That's 22 flights, 22 seats on the plane. That is a lot of attitudes, a lot of different preferences, and we did it. I'm here to talk about it, and I need much prayer and counseling after this week. But when I went and I started to think about taking 22 people to a different country, the one thing that I did not fully plan for is how much luggage 22 people required in a different country. The number is 38 pieces. 38 pieces of luggage came on this darn trip with us for 4.5 days. Let me show them a picture of the family happy together and loving one another. Look at us all at the beach. It's beautiful, isn't it? Let me show you a picture of the luggage. Just put it up. This is one of four vehicles full of luggage. 38 pieces. Now, as I begin to examine my whole life and why I decided to do this, I started to think how 22 different people brought 38 pieces of luggage, wheelchairs, baby strollers, backpacks, and all of them packed for a journey they had not been on because they had a vision of where we were going. And there was 22 different visions of what this trip would entail for them. And I could open up their luggage and see what they had envisioned for a journey they had not been on yet. And as I begin to look at how valuable vision is, I started to think as I was putting all this luggage in people's room, and by the end, I was storing it in their room. I didn't care what was in their thing. I was like, take your luggage. If vision is valuable for vacation, how much more is vision valuable for your victory? And I started to think about how meticulous some of my family members were on the items they put in their luggage because of the vision they had of their family trip. And let me be clear, because somebody thought I was going to say vacation. It is not a vacation if your kids come. It is not a vacation if your parents are there and if your other parents is there. It is a family trip. That's just in my spirit. It's only a vacation when it's me and Nat. My question today is, what is your vision for your marriage? What is your vision for your business? What is your vision for your ministry? What is your vision for your finances? What is your vision for your children? Not ethereal. Not, I have been thinking about that. Hand it to me in black and white ink. Because it's not a vision until it's written. So if I ask you today, what is your vision for your health? Most people have more vision for the vacation they want to take than having vision for the purpose that'll bring you into victory. So today, I want to talk to you about vision. Because if we don't understand how valuable vision is for every part of your life, you will not be able to use crazy faith for what you've been called to do. The only reason we're standing in this building today is because I used my anointed imagination in the presence of God, and He gave me a vision that, watch, only became a vision when I wrote it down. Today, I'm pointing back to a document I wrote 37 days after I became the lead pastor of this church, because that's when it had the ability to actually happen in the earth. I just want to talk to the people who have visions for vacations but don't have vision for their victory. Proverbs 29:18. This is going to be tight and right today. Proverbs 29:18. The funny thing is, right now, some of y'all are saving money for vacations that are years away. Some of you have planned for things. I know I'm in your business right now. Some of you have a vision for inanimate objects that will be in your life this year and out of it next, but have no vision for your emotional stability. Uh-oh. You have no vision to get in counseling, and you know you're jacked up. You have trauma after trauma, but you stand in line and wait on internet rooms to buy clothes. But you won't pay that money to talk through the grief that continues to weigh you down. You have a vision for the house you want to live in, but no vision for the house, your body, that you live in every day. You tearing down walls, eroding foundations. Oh, y'all. You let anybody touch this house? You let somebody slide in the DMs, end you up on your back, and you don't even know their last name? He the dude with the charger. You only know his car type? You have more vision for the outfit you gonna wear on your birthday. Than you do for the kids that God trusted you with? You won't even do your homework with them. They're asking you for help. And you haven't taught them one Bible scripture. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you may have not figured out the value of vision. And there are so many people that look like they have vision, but they, I'm not even going, y'all not ready for it yet. I got to build you up to it, because some of y'all is already about to check out. Proverbs 29:18, because like, where the scripture, Pastor? I'm like, give me the Bible. Let me help your bless itself. The only reason I feel so passionate about this, because I figured it out. I am the product of living a life full of vision. And a lot of times I can pray for people that will never get what I prayed for them for. Because they don't have vision for themselves. So I can't agree for God to multiply what isn't there. There are so many times that my prayers can't do nothing past what you believe. Past what you've seen for yourself. I can pray it, but it just hits the ceiling, comes back down because you don't even believe it. You don't even think it's possible for yourself. And that's why I'm trying to raise your expectation in this series. And I want everybody to get a vision. Somebody shout at me, vision.
Vision.
Say it like you mean it.
Vision.
Say vision.
Vision.
Proverbs 29:18, King James Version. I'm going to like four different translations so this can ring in your mind forever. Where there is no vision, the people perish. It does not say where there is no vision, the people just don't get all the things that God had for them. They die. Can I give you the Michael Living translation? Let me remix this whole thing. Without vision, something dies that God wanted to live. Where there's no vision, God's like, man, I wanted something to live right there. Man, I wanted something to flourish right there. Man, I wanted to, but they wouldn't get a vision from me. So where there's no vision, I command that to be a desolate place. Where there's no vision, it won't flourish. Where there's no vision, it cannot feed others with life. I want you to think of every area in your life and ask yourself, do I have vision there? I'm not talking about a dissertation of 16 points and all this stuff, a written down vision of what you want in that area of your life, what God has said about you in that area, what he said in his word about that area of your life. Get a vision. Without vision, something dies that God wanted to live. In other words, this is what I see all over the world. Many people are existing, but not living. If I look at the state of most people's life, they're in a state of existence. They're not flourishing. They're not joyful. They're not overwhelmed with the goodness of God. They're existing. That is a sure sign that there is an area where there is no vision. Let's go to Proverbs 29:18. The English Standard Version, ESV. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. See, I love this version of it because prophetic means it's telling something in the future. There's something that I'm not at yet, but there's a prophetic vision. A vision is something that is not where I'm at, but it's up ahead. And I want everybody to know that in your life, there is a plan that God already has that is up in your future. I'm not there yet, but it looks good up there, better than it does right here. But if I don't get an image of that prophetic vision, I cast off restraint, or let me remix it. This is a passage remix for you. When you don't see it before you see it, people stop caring. I cast off restraint. If you don't see it and get a vision of the prophetic future before you get there, you stop caring about stuff. Some of y'all do not care about relationships that are around you because you don't know your future. Those people are supposed to help you in another season. And you're mean to them right now. Oh. So you stop caring. Well, it don't matter if I forgive them. They're the linchpin to the next thing that God wants to do in your life. But you have no prophetic vision. You don't see nothing up ahead. And so you stop caring. There are so many areas of our life. When you find an area where you don't care, it's linked to what the vision is for that area. I'm trying to help you reverse engineer this. Some of y'all do not care about how you work at your job. You don't care no more. You come in late. You steal stuff. It's just paper clips. You're never going to be a boss, huh? I see right now that you'll never be the one signing for everything. It's just Sharpies. It's just printing. And you printing out your vision statement because Pastor Mike told you to do it on the company's paper. Well, it's for God. Go buy a printer. Go to Kinko's. See, I'm getting down to the details because it exposes that you don't have a prophetic vision of stewardship. You don't see yourself owning and leading and doing things that God has called you to do. So you stop caring. And if you stop caring about it, that means you get sloppy about how you present what God has called you to do. And I just feel like we're in an age of the sloppiest Christians in history who've stopped caring about what your post may do to the kingdom. You don't care? Well, this is how I feel. The very person you just offended, it was part of your destiny to reach them. But because you don't have a vision of the future, you stop caring today. And the very people who muted you, the message that God was going to give through you 6 weeks from now was going to actually minister to them. Because you don't have a prophetic vision of who God created you to be and the level of strength you are in the sphere of influence that he's put you in, and that you may not have a big platform, but God gave you a platform to reach people right where you are. Because you do not have a prophetic vision, you stop caring. And God says, this is why you need a vision. Look at it in the NLT version. Ooh. Proverbs 29:18. When people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. There are areas that is just wilding out in your life because you have not accepted the divine guidance of God. Just doing what you want to do, how you want to do it. And God's saying, let me just put it in a passage remix. If it's not governed by the word, it's going to be wild. If it's not governed by the word, it's gonna be wild. This is why, for all my people still searching in relationships, like if you do not allow the word of God to govern your relationship, and y'all just living together and doing married stuff together and making all the things and doing all the things, you're not a bad person. It makes logical sense. But because it's not governed by the word of God and what he said, what ends up happening is stuff just starts going wild. Now you actually finally get married after 7 years of playing house and he don't want you no more. It's not the same. Why? Because you were in a season living outside of the submission to the word of God, and now you got what you thought you wanted, but there is no actual exclusivity because I already had that. Already been there, and now I smell your breath in the morning. And now I got to deal with your attitude and your family and all that stuff. I'm just telling you, it goes wild when you don't let the word govern your life. I already came and amen myself a lot before this service. So I don't need anybody's help. I am going to give you what is going to help you reach the vision in your life, okay? Let me give it to you in the last message version. And this one jacks me up every time. Proverbs 29:18, the message version. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. If you don't get a vision to see what God is doing, you are going to keep tripping. So the way I want to say this in the passage remix is get vision and stop tripping. A lot of the things you... is because you didn't clearly know where you were supposed to step. You ever been somewhere and you distracted by everything and you look at, that's when you can make a mistake. It's because you had no clear vision. And so today, I want to help everybody get clearer vision. I told you a couple weeks ago about the frame of your faith and like this thing where you go from imagination. Put it on the screen real quick because I want everybody to see this because I'm working a progression all the way to Christmas. We're crazy until Christmas. By Christmas, I pray that God ignites something on the inside of you that changes you forever. But this is the progression. We go from imagination, which is the spiritual womb, and then we cross over to vision. And that's what we're talking about today. It's the receipt or the evidence of what's to come prophetically that God says. Then you move over to hope, and hope is the fuel for your faith. And then you move over to crazy faith, believing God can do it. And then you move over to believing beyond, and that's crazier faith. A lot of us are still way over here in imagining what God could do. Today, I want you to take a big step. Everybody say a big step. And I want us to step into vision. How do I know it's a vision, Pastor Mike? Thank God for his word. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Write this point down. Vision is not valid until it's written down. It's not vision in your head. If it's in your head, it's not a vision. It's still an imagination. It only becomes a vision when it's what? Written down. Now I ask the question again. What's your vision for your family? If it's not written down, it's your imagination. What's your vision for your health? What's your vision for your business? What's your vision for your family? What's your vision for your singleness? Because without a vision for your singleness, guess what you're gonna do? Run wild. Cast off restraint, stop caring. What's your vision for your purity? What's your vision for your friend group? What's your ask somebody right now, what's your vision? No, ask them right now. And the crazy thing about this is why I started off with the vacation. If I told you tomorrow that we were going to Maui, you automatically would have a vision of what you was about to be doing in Maui. How do I know? Because you would start preparing and packing based on what your vision was. And what people have not done is started preparing and packing based on what the vision God has given them is. So write it down. Get in prayer, and whatever God shows you, what are you gonna do? Write it down. But I'm going to spend time specifically praying this week. And when I get in there and I just put on the top of the paper, family. I'm just going to literally put family on the top of the paper. And I'm going to ask God, give me vision for my family. Not compared to somebody else. Uh-oh. Not in competition with these ideas. God, give me vision for my health. I'm gonna tell the truth today. January 6th, I weighed 264 pounds this year, 2021. And I've always, and I've admitted it publicly, I've always had this like teeter-totter seesaw relationship with my weight. If I'm feeling good, I eat. If I'm feeling bad, I eat. If things ain't looking good, I eat. If things is going really, really good, time to celebrate. Let's eat. Like that was my only options. Like, it's date night, eat. I'm alone in a time of solitude. Eat. Like, God told me maybe 7 years ago, 6 years ago, that the level of this ministry would only be able to go to the level that my body could take it. He gave me a vision of myself being healthy. But I didn't focus on it. So I stopped caring. And I was like, as long as I can dress my body, your boy be fat and fly. It don't even matter. I'm going to dress it right. It might be a couple more, but like. When I stepped on that scale in January, the conviction of God came over me. He said, I gave you a vision. And you just going to ignore it like this? What I want to do in your life for Transformation Church and Transformation, I gave you a vision. And you have literally ignored it. You're the heaviest you've ever been. You're the most unhealthy that you've ever been. And you're the most anointed that you've ever been. Oh, you know you can be anointed and unhealthy? Oh, did you know you could be on a big platform and literally eroding the thing that God told you to do? I said, and this was the moment. I said, God, I wrote down health on a piece of paper. I don't know how to do this. Will you help me get healthy? And all I did was put a picture of myself on somebody else's body. See, y'all trying to be so spiritual. I had to write the vision down. This was me making the vision plain. I found somebody who had the body I needed to have. And I just put my smile, because this could stay. I put it on a different, and I literally wrote, help me, God. And over the course since January, I stepped on the scale this morning. I was 221 pounds. I've lost 42 pounds. Y'all, 42 pounds. Now watch. Thank you. This is my first time wearing a shirt without a, you know what I'm saying? I could turn all the way around. God bless you. But what I'm saying to you is, this didn't come because I imagined it. The reason that it started moving is because I got a vision. And I'm going to tell you in a second how that vision helped me all the way through. But in every area of your life, I'm challenging you this week. Get a big piece of paper and write down the areas of your life and ask God for vision. Habakkuk 2:2 in the Message version. I love this. And God answered, write this. Write what you see. That's all God's asking you to do. Write what you see. Write it. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what is coming. When you write the vision down, it gives it permission to actually come. What is coming is me being healthy. What is coming is my marriage flourishing. What is coming is me actually in a marriage. A shout out to my single people. What is coming is this church being stronger than ever. What is coming is me not being addicted to anything. What is, y'all don't even hear me. What is coming is me being able to bless other people the way that God has blessed me. What is coming? See, when you get a vision, it points to what is coming. And for most of us, we don't have a vision. See, vision gives imagination permission to exist on the earth. Vision, when you write it down, gives what you saw in your imagination permission to actually access the earth. I don't know why God did this, but after he created for them 6 days, he decided he would do nothing else on the earth without me and you's help. Me and you's, without our participation. Now, if I was God, I'd be like, they be tripping. I tell them to do something, they don't do it. I ask them to believe, they don't believe. So why in the world I'm waiting on them and I'm all powerful? He says, it makes more sense for me to get glory if I use something that doesn't have the ability to make it happen. And I partner with them I use the foolish things to confound the wise, and I show a testimony through Mike Todd's life, through Amber Lee's life, through Gary McIntosh's life, through Brenda's life, through Lisa's life, through Roberta's life. I'm going to use them. And God says, I'll do nothing on the earth without one of my children. So he says, take it from imagination and bring it to vision. Because when it gets written down on paper, now it has permission to actually show up on the earth. I'm giving y'all cheat codes right now. And some of y'all are sitting there like, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Write it down. Excuse me, I don't even know how. Write it down. If God told you you would be living in a different city and your bills would be paid and you would work at that job in that long, write it down. And the crazy thing is, y'all scared. I didn't say scared. Scared. You're scared that if you write it down and it doesn't happen, somehow God's not good or you don't hear God. I'm giving you the cheat code and you scared. And this is the thing you got to understand. And one thing I came to grips with a long time ago. Number one, I don't have to protect God's reputation. Some of y'all think y'all real strong. God was here before you and he gonna be here after you. And kingdoms have risen and fallen. And the name of Jesus is still being proclaimed all over the earth. You cannot protect his reputation. So take that off your back. And the other thing that you need to understand is that when you walk around scared, it's the only thing that can limit God from doing miracles. When you don't believe, can I prove it to you in Jesus's life? He's doing miracles all over. But he goes back to his hometown. And he literally, like, if I'm at my hometown, this is where I want to do the most. Like, I'm coming home. It's a homecoming. I want to bless my people. This is my people. And because they were familiar with him, ain't that Mary's boy? We know they sisters and brother. They could not get over his humanity. So they missed his divinity. And literally the Bible says, and he left there only doing a few miracles because of the people's unbelief. Stop being scared and trying to protect God. Write it down. Practical example. 8 years ago, representing God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ was not a thing. Nobody was walking around with Represent merch. Nobody was writing Represent on walls and garages. I had a vision that God gave me. Now when I showed up in Aruba with my whole family, I seen somebody in a different country wearing a bootleg version. Y'all missed it. So you thinking about the bootleg version, oh, that looks white. They took something that was in my head and that I wrote down and it became a vision and I started saying it out loud and printing it on jackets and putting it on things and saying it every Sunday. And now it's in a different country where somebody else has adopted the vision to their own lives on a bad quality print. They didn't care because the vision in me, the vision in you ain't just for you. What God's placed on the inside of you is not so that you can be good. It's so that others can be able to know what's possible when you get a vision from God. So let me help you understand this. Bring my luggage. I want everybody to look at every area of your life, every area. And I want you to see if you look like you have vision or if there's actually vision in that area of your life. And this is super practical. And next week, I'm taking you to a whole nother level. But I'm just trying to build in the value of vision, because you don't need crazy faith for a place that does not have vision. The only reason that I had to believe God is because God had given me a vision for something. And what I'm trying to give you right now is the value of having a vision in every area of your life. Everybody say, every area of my life.
Every area of my life.
Yeah. So when I look at all this luggage, I'm just trying to recreate what I experienced this past week with my family. This is what it looked like us in the lobby of that hotel. Yep, strollers, wheelchairs, duffel bags, suitcases. Yeah, bring the wheelchair. Yep, that was a struggle. Yep, kids. I asked myself several times, whose kids are these? And four of them were mine. Like, it was just, it was a lot. Dinosaur bags, all kinds of stuff. Yes, this was ridiculous. And the crazy thing that I thought and the picture I got in my head is, what if I prepared for the trip? What if I prepared? I put everything on. We ready to go. My duffel bags, everything ready. Let me get everything. Ah, come on. Come on, some of the luggage was faulty too. This is what I look like personally coming off the plane. But do you know, I spent $1,500 paying for luggage to get to Aruba. Like, now, because of all the stuff that's going on, they don't let you have free luggage. Like, that goes under, you gotta pay $30 a bag. And if it's over a certain weight, it's $125. Yeah, I almost cussed. Do you know how frustrating it would have been to get to Aruba and open up these suitcases for them to be empty? This is what most of our lives look like. That God says, I'm ready to do something with you, and you look packed. And you look ready. But until I open it up, that's when I see it's actually vacant. And today, I just need to ask you, do you have vacant vision? Everything that I have on has nothing in it. My family, no vision. For my children, yeah, it looks good. Unicorns, imagination, all this other stuff, no vision. Every one of these suitcases has nothing in them. This could be a picture of our church. Family picture, vacant vision. That's what I'm titling today's message. Because I do believe that there is a void that has to be filled up with vision from God. And if we don't take this seriously, we end up wasting the faith that God wants us to be able to have. See, when everybody packs, I pack from here. I'm not in Aruba packing. I'm packing in my current situation. See, I don't pack for the season I'm in. I pack for the weather I'm going to. I don't pack. I'm trying to help somebody get the importance of a vision. I don't pack for the location I'm in. I pack for the location I'm going to. I don't pack for the time zone I'm in. I pack for the time zone I'm going to. I don't pack for the culture that is around me. I pack for the culture I'm going to. I don't pack for this place. I pack for the prophetic vision that God has given me. And my question to you is, why is the vision vacant? Why is it empty? Why, when somebody asks you about what God wants to do in the next 2 years of your life, you say stuff like, I don't even think that far. I got too much going on. Hold on. Vision is valuable. Write this down in a point. Vision is prepared from here, not there. I'm preparing for what transformation is going to be, not from here. I am preparing for the level, let me just say it right now. Part of the vision that God told me when we started this church is that Transformation Church would be multi-ethnic, multi-generational, multiplying, and then it's this last one that been on my nerves, multi-campus. I have fought that with everything in my being, because he's done the multi-generational, he's done the multiplying, he's done the multi-ethnic, but the multi-campus, do we really got? I like Tulsa. I like right here. But God said, I need you to start packing right now. Y'all missed it. I need you to start packing right now for where I'm about to take you. So slowly but surely, I came back and told my team, I was like, y'all, get ready. We going into a different season. Get ready. I gotta start preparing the teams differently. We gotta start thinking differently. We gotta think outside the box of just opening the building. Could the prophetic pause that God put us in be the very thing that we needed to start getting ready to see the next thing? God's saying, fill it up wherever it's vacant. Wherever there's nothing, wherever you have not gotten a prophetic vision, somebody say, fill it up. I may not even use it in the next season, but I will be caught with more than enough than not enough. Y'all don't hear me. We may not see. I need to stop yelling. But somebody say, fill it up. This is prophetically what your life should look like in this next season. I'm going to the rack of Revelation. And whatever you want, I'm going to bring it before you in intercession. And God, I'm going to fill the places of my life with the vision that you give. I'm going to fill my kids' lives with vision of who they can be in the future. I'm not going to let them sit here and deal with the same devils I dealt with all my life. They're going to have a different vision. I'm prophetically doing this, but this is what's about to start happening. I'm not going to stay here and deal with these traumas and never be delivered. And then what I don't actually confront gets passed on. No, devil, we are about to actually do something about this. What should happen is that wherever you have vacant vision, should get so filled up that when it comes time to close it. See, when I really pack, you don't just close it. Hold on. But then God, you say, what? Oh, see, so some of y'all got the vision 6 years ago and you thought he was done speaking. But God's saying to you, I got more for you. You heard one part of it. You saw one part of the journey. But I got something else for you that I want to do about your business, about your family, about your emotional health, about your spiritual health, about your forgiveness, all that weight you've been carrying around. Some of y'all need to trade out some stuff in your luggage right now. You actually need to make room for the vision of God. You've been carrying people and things that have been hindering your vision. But when you get God's vision in there, some of y'all are going to need help being able to carry all the things that God has placed in you. You know why we have such a great team at TC? Because the vision that God has given me is bigger than what I can carry by myself. See, any smart person would come and say, just get another bag. And I would if I had somebody willing to carry it. But many of us do everything we can with our own vision because we haven't found anybody else that's willing to actually carry their part of the vision too. Yeah. It's one of those things that I've been sitting here and I've been reflecting on how good God has been to give me people to link arms with who our visions aligned. Like he told them something in California, but told me something in Tulsa, and told them something in Colorado, and told them something up the street, but we never met before. And God's linking people to be able to carry vision together because it's bigger than me and it's bigger than we. It is what God wants to do in the earth right now. And he's looking for people who would actually get vision, write it down, and be willing to say, the area of my finances is vacant, but God, will you fill it up? Somebody say, fill me up.
Fill me up.
Say it again, fill me up.
Fill me up.
Hold on. Brent, come sit on this with me, bro. This is what having the right people in your circle looks like. This is last week's message. It's having a circle of faith, because can you use it from that side? Okay, use it from that side. Hold on, get in front, Brent. Get in front, because now I'll put my whole body weight on it. Okay, and you close it up. Okay, you got it? Okay, cool. It looks the same. It looks exactly the same as it did when it was empty. But until you up, there's some weight on it. There's some weight. When you get a vision from God, I can say it and you can say it. But when you put something, there's some weight on it. And what God is saying is that he wants you to get a vision so that his weight or his glory can be a part of your life. We had one bag on this trip. The limit was 55 pounds. There was one bag on this trip that my beautiful, wonderful, amazing wife packed. That was 82 pounds. It cost me $230 going and coming back. But what she said to me messed me up. It was all Gia's stuff, our new baby. She said, Michael, everything in that bag is essential. And when she, now I don't know all the little cleaning products and all of the little things and the zippies and the wrappers and the different, but it was heavy as hell. It's heavy. But when she looked at me, because she packed the bag and she had a clear vision of our baby at the beach, and our baby in a hotel room without all of the amenities. She had put herself in a different country, sitting in our bedroom. And she knew, when she said that to me, everything in there is essential. I said, here's my card, woman. Swipe the thing, take the bag. Why? Because the vision that she had brought clarity to how everybody else responded to it. Some of you have been dealing with stuff because you had no clarity to the vision. You're having conversations about stuff that you're not even supposed to be talking about right now because there's no clarity to the vision. Let me just finish. My wife, what she did is what I'm asking everybody to do. See it before you see it. This week, put on a blindfold or close your eyes. I just got to go extreme. And I put on a blindfold and then I just start calling out areas of my life. Where am I spiritually? a year and a half from now. See it before you see it. Where do you work a year from now? How much money's in the bank a year from now? Who are you helping a year from now? Scratch that. It ain't even got to be a year from now. It can be a month from now. What are you doing about your health next week? See it before you see it. When you start walking like this, I promise you, if you make space, God will give you a vision. If you make space, God will give you a vision. Who are you serving? How are you making a difference? Who is being helped by the words God gives to you? Where are you sharing your testimony? See it. You're riddled with anxiety right now. You would never share what's going on. But see yourself standing up boldly and confidently. Saying, you know what? Yeah, I used to be on every pill that was imaginable for 6 years. I could not go into social settings without having a drink. And afterwards, I needed a week to, like, see yourself telling your testimony. See it. See yourself standing up in front of your family saying, I forgive all of you. I have been holding a grudge and a burden against all of you for the past 9 years. And today, my Christmas present to all of you is to let you know that I have released you of the debt. I love you. I believe in you. And I want to start a better relationship with you from here. Right now, that for somebody, that literally makes your stomach turn. But see it. See it before it happens. This is what vision is. It is being able to see what God has in the future before you ever see it in your present. I didn't say sight, because sight is what I see with my eyes open. But vision is what I see with my eyes closed. This week, set aside time and see what God has for you in the future, and then make it a vision and do what? Write it down. 1 Corinthians 2:9. That is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love. It's already prepared. Why don't you just ask God to show you? It's not like there's some conjuring that you have to do and some dance and some perfect. Ask me. Ask me for vision and I'll give it to you. This is why I am so out of time, but I got to give somebody this so that we can go. Write it down. 6 advantages to vision. Just write it down and I'm just going to go through them because this is going to be the key. Number one advantage to vision. Vision gives energy. Some of you are so lethargic about everything because you don't have a vision. At the moment you get a vision, something comes into you. I can tell you, I can be dead tired, sleep, and I get a melody or I hear something in my mind. I do music and I'll hear something. My entire body, I don't need coffee at that moment. I don't need Evan, Tony, y'all know what I'm talking about. You get some, it'll be 3 o'clock in the morning and my body will say, hold on. I got a vision of what song this could be. I got a vision of how that I Will song that we sang today. We were literally playing that in the studio, just going through some things. And I heard, and I said, oh, play that back. And literally in that moment, I literally started singing, I Will. And I started knocking on the door of the studio. And I mean, we were dead tired. That was like 1 or 2 in the morning. It was, I came alive because I saw that song being ministered on this platform. And this morning, they're singing a song that was imagination and went to vision because we started writing down the words and we started marking down the thing and it gave me energy. You need energy to work out? Get a vision of yourself healthy. You need you need energy to actually go to the counseling? Because your marriage is on the rocks right now. Look at all of the couples that you've been fantasizing for and get that out of your mind and ask God, who are me and Charles supposed to be together? Who are me and Latavia supposed to be together? Who? And let God give you a vision. Me standing up here with my wife at Version 1 conference, hand in hand, was a vision God gave me before we were engaged. That's why we went through all the hell we went through. It's because it gave me energy to actually do what was hard. Because I had a vision. Vision gives energy. Number two, vision eliminates excuses. When you get a vision, excuses become irrelevant. I do tons of stuff I don't like doing because of the vision that God's given me. Can I be hot with y'all, humble, open, and transparent? I don't like studying to preach every Sunday. It is tedious work for me. I start on Wednesday to get to Sunday. And I'm working on Thursday and on Friday and on Saturday. And I'm tweaking up until 30 minutes before service on Sunday. Every week. I hate it. But I will do it for the rest of my life. Why? Because of the vision God has given me. I don't have an excuse when God gives me vision. And this is why your excuses are louder than your production. It's because you don't have a vision. But let's eliminate excuses by doing what? Getting a vision. Three, this is the advantages of vision. Vision regulates who or what you entertain. There are certain people I don't even fool with. Because you would mess up the vision God's given me. You have no parameters on who can take from your life and deposit into your life because you don't have a vision for your life. That's why you've been in 19 relationships in the past 3 years. It's because you don't have even a vision of the person you want to be with. Yeah. Regulate by getting a vision. These are the advantages. Number four, vision illuminates exits. When you get a vision, you know when to exit. You see that big old sign? This is what I see when I walk into situations. Do I need to go into this and keep going? Or do I need to walk in and be like, you know, God bless y'all, straight to the exit? And some of us stay in places and around things too long because we do not have a vision. And until you get a vision, you don't know if this is an opportunity or an assignment. Do you know what has happened as I've gotten a vision? My no and my yes have become very clear. There are things, y'all, that would have changed my family's life that have been opportunities in the past 2 years that I have clearly said no to because it did not align with the vision God gave me. And most of us are looking for opportunities instead of assignments. And God says, when you get a vision, it illuminates exits. I have a friend who, wherever we go, the first thing he does, he's a 6 on the Enneagram. The first thing he does is find out where all the exits are. And I'd be like, bro, you paranoid. But what I started to figure out when I talked to him, he is a little paranoid. But what I started to figure out when I talked to him is that he's always preparing for if something happens. And I started to think about it. And when I looked at it, it says, when crisis comes, if you start running into things, if you have not figured out where the exits are, you literally run into things instead of running out of things. When chaos comes, we run into wrong relationships. We run into the things that we're not supposed to be in. And God's saying, I want you to know where the exits are so that you can have clear vision and be able to walk out of stuff you're not supposed to be in. Number five, vision frustrates the enemy. When you get clear vision, the enemy gets frustrated. And this is why the enemy's whole job is to steal, kill, and destroy maybe your vision. That's why it didn't work last time, so you don't trust this time. And God's saying, but I came that you might have life. Bring life back to the vision. Last one. Vision produces endurance. When you get a vision, it'll make you last. It'll make you believe when nothing seems like it's going the right way. I'm going to show you in scripture with our example, Jesus, and then we're going home. Hebrews 12:2. How do we do this? How do we get a vision and endure? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. The champion, that's what we sang today, who initiates and perfects our what? Faith. We keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects. I love that. That he initiates, he'll give you a vision, and then he'll perfect it. Initiates and perfects our faith because of the joy awaiting him. Watch this. This is a live example of Jesus enduring because he had a vision. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. Disregarding its shame, it didn't matter how much it hurt and how embarrassing it was. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. God, in human form, named Jesus, had a vision of himself seated next to God. And that made him endure all the crap he had to go through. If you get a vision, it'll make you endure every bit of crap. And in a generation that quits so quickly. We talk about persecution. We think persecution is in the comments. Ain't no persecution in the comments. Persecution is what's happening to the people in Afghanistan when they say the name of Jesus and somebody's getting killed. Persecution is what's happening in these other countries. Persecution in the comments? God said, you'll really be able to endure when you get a vision. The things I've had to endure in this last season of my life, I've only been able to last because I had a vision. Stand up all over the place at your house. Today, I wanted to challenge every area in your life that has vacant vision. This is not one you listen to and then just come back next week. You have homework. You got homework. And guess what? You're responsible for what you heard. Don't be complaining to God. God, I'm just waiting on you. I'm going to wait on you. He said, I told you what to do. I told you what to do. Get a vision, write it down and make it plain so it can be read. And then this is the key to all of it. Let God refine the vision as he sees fit. Well, this is what I wrote down. I wrote down that I was going to impact the world through music when I was 15 years old. I wrote it like that was the vision. I'm going to impact the whole world through music. And God said, can I refine that? You're going to impact the whole world. But it's going to be through preaching first. I didn't see that in my vision, but you gave me something to work with. You wrote down the part that you saw. You wrote down the thing that illuminated in your heart. And because you obeyed my word, now I can refine it and tweak it and cross out things and illuminate things. All I'm saying is you can do something this week to start moving in crazier faith. Hands lifted. I want to pray for you. Every service, I feel an anointing to impart. Like, I don't want to just pray. Like, these are things I'm teaching from that God has allowed me to master and to really live out. And today I'm going to pray that courage and boldness to write down what God says would jump off on everybody that would have the spirit to receive it. Hands lifted. Come on. Somebody's about to get this right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, woo, I thank you that vision is coming alive in your people. Ah, God, I thank you that you've spoken all the way back to Abraham in visions and dreams. And God, today, I'm asking you that for anybody that would have the crazy faith to listen to this regular guy, that I would stand in my authority and I would impart, Father God, from your word, what you make available to every one of your children. I speak faith enough for us to get the vision, write it down, and make it plain. For every area of our life that has vacant vision, I pray that you would fill it up. Woo. Come on, somebody say that. Fill me up, God. Come on, fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Come on, somebody say it right now. Fill me up. Fill me up. Give me vision for my family. Give me vision for my health. Give me vision for my finances. Give me vision for my relationships. Give me vision, Father, for outreach. Give me vision, Father God, for serving others. Fill me up. God, I declare that this week will be a download. Woo! A download of vision. Father, that we won't look like a bunch of people who are ready for the journey, but we have nothing in it. God, fill us up, Father God. And I declare, God, that this group of people will be ready to say yes to whatever you want to do and whatever you want to say. We will keep our eyes focused on you, Father. You did it for the joy that was set before you, for the vision of you being at the right hand of the Father. You endured. Father, give us endurance to be able to outlast the doubt, to outlast the depression, to outlast the devastation. Father God, you're making us stronger right now, God. Fill us up. We can't do it without you. Listen, right there, I want to interject James 1:5 that tells us so practically what can do. Somebody say, fill me up. No, say it one more time, fill me up. God's about to start filling people with vision like never before. I see it, but this is what you have to do. If any of you lacks wisdom, if you lack vision, I don't know what to do here. I don't know what to ask for. You should ask God, who gives generously to all. Everybody say all. That includes you. Without finding fault. God's not mad at you if you haven't had vision in an area. It will be given to you. Thank you, Father, today and all this week, whether we're watching live or rebroadcast 6 months from now, 10 years from now. Today we're going to ask for vision.
Fill me of God. Fill me of God.
Come on, that's what we're asking for.
Fill me up.
Come on, you just right there.
Fill.
You're asking right now. You're doing James 1:5.
Fill.
Let every empty area. Put something else in it, God. Come on, keep saying that. Give me vision. For my pain. Come on, fill me up. Lift that up. Oh, I feel this thing. We're asking, give us fresh vision. Give me fresh vision. The next part, fill me up. Say,
fill me up.
Woo!
Until I,
oh, come on.
I want to run.
He's going to give us the vision, Kayla, for everything. Say,
fill me.
New songs, new books, new cures, new business plans. You better say it with crazy faith. Tell God.
Yeah.
that's how every area of your life looked. Like when it came to vision for the ministry in Africa, Amberly, for the business, for I want you, if you get the vision, it now has permission to actually have. Monica, what if we get the vision for what the kids area is supposed to do for Transformation Kids all over the world? Not here in Tulsa, but I'm talking about Transformation Kids in India and Dubai. And y'all, see, I'm not playing with people with little faith. What if we get a vision of what multi-generational ministry looks like, Bishop Gary? And we can talk to pastors all over the world to show them how to transition and work together. What if we get a vision for a church that doesn't just get resources off a tithe and offering, but we have a business model that changes the economics of a city, y'all? That we can build our own communities and we can build our own grocery stores, y'all don't. Oh my God. See, I gotta get around people with faith. Because when I start getting a vision, most people told me that where we are today was impossible. But I had, can I prove it? It was written down. I stand in the vision that God gave me. God wants every person to be able to stand in a different season and say, God did this. I can't take credit for what was impossible in one season. But today, I can look at everybody around the world and say, it's only crazy until it happens. So, from now on, next week, you should have vision in areas of your life that right now are vacant. You're not bad. God said, just ask me. Ask me for vision, and I'll give it generously without finding fault in you. So our prayer all week is this simple song. It just says, fill me up. Say,
fill me up until I overflow. I wanna run over.
There's something right there.
Said it, fill me
with vision for the future, God.
Until I overflow.
Vision for where I serve. Vision for my company, my family, my business, my health. Somebody needs vision for eternity. See, the crazy thing is we can be praying for vision for all this stuff and it's temporal. But the reason that God sent Jesus to the cross was so that we could give a prophetic vision of eternity. That we could be singing holy, holy, holy around the throne and worshiping God all day. I don't know about you, but I've envisioned my mansion in heaven and the streets paved with gold. Y'all got to read y'all Bible. It get really good in the future for us. But to see that vision, there's something you need to do. You got to ask Jesus to come in and be your Savior and your Lord. And today, I'm telling you, it's the greatest decision I ever made. It took me from being somebody who was a liar, a manipulator, somebody who was addicted to pornography, somebody who was a really bad person on the inside. Not because I just wanted to be, but it was the sin nature of the world we live in. Things came in. I adapted them. I grew them. I let them control my focus. And God said, can I give you a new vision of what I see in you? And when I accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, according to Romans 10:9, I just confessed that he was who he said he was, and I believe he lived and he died for me. It said, at that moment, by grace, through faith, by grace, not works, not effort, not energy, by grace through faith. I was saved. My eternity was secure. And today, I just believe there's tons of people that are watching who want to get a vision for their life here, but this is temporary. The Bible says it's like a vapor. It's like it's this quick. But for the rest of eternity, get a vision of you worshiping God and being in that great cloud of witnesses, that group of people who are part of the cheering section of faith for everybody else. And God says he wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. On a count of three, if you want to make Jesus Christ your personal Lord and Savior and get a vision of yourself free, get a vision of yourself not burdened down by all the things that have been trying to trap you, I want you to lift your hands. It's going to change your life forever, and not just yours, but your family's life. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, I'm so proud of you, but more than that, God is going to write your name. He's going to do what? He's going to make it a vision for your, y'all, I'm preaching this thing right now. It says he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Three, if you want to make the decision for Jesus, lift your hands all over the world. There are hands in this building. I see you. I see you. There are people online. You can put your hands down. I'm so proud of you. What you're going to do is just ask God to fill you up. That's it. And at Transformation Church, we say this prayer all together for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. We're a family here. And people, 32,000 plus people have made this decision this year. Oh, that's something we can. I said 32,000 people have made the decision that you're about to make this year. And so today, this is nothing to be ashamed of. This is something to be proud of. And watch what God gives you after you make this commitment to him. Everybody, just close your eyes and say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Thank you of having a vision of me healed and free. Today, I give you my life. I believe you lived, you died, and you rose again just for me. And today, I surrender. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we rejoice with everybody that just made that decision? And all of y'all playing. I said, can we rejoice? Hallelujah! The Bible says all of heaven is turning up and having a party over one person. And I believe there were hundreds. Transformation Nation, let's praise God. Hallelujah! So this week, all you're going to do is open every suitcase of your life and ask God to do what? Fill you up. Father, I declare this will be the best week of our life because you're going to speak to us and our ears are open to hear you. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Woo! That would literally see us at whatever place and stage we're in. And you will prepare us for there while we're still standing right here. We trust you, we believe you, and we thank you. Fill us up, God, till we overflow. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Next week, we going to a whole nother level. Go out this week. Listen, you got to listen back to this one twice. I'm telling y'all. There's something that's happening when I'm listening back to these messages and I'm hearing stuff that I didn't hear the first time. And I said it. So what I'm telling you is you got to go back and listen. And let's continue to move in crazier faith. Y'all with me? I love y'all. Go out and live a transformed life. God bless you.